You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Everybody have your Bibles?
Yes.
Okay, if you don't, just look on to somebody else or trust me. You'll have to trust me. I'm quoting Scripture. Matthew 28 is where I want to start. We've been teaching on authority, biblical authority. And authority is something that's been delegated down to us as mankind. I mean, the problem with the world today is man. That's what the problem of the world is. The answer to the problems of the world today is man. Stay with me. Man saved. Man who knows Jesus. Man who calls on God. Now, obviously, the answer is Jesus. The answer is God. The answer is for us to line ourselves up with His will. But God does His will through us who believe Him, who trust Him. God moves in the earth through us. And in fact, we are the body of Christ, Christians. I'm talking to Christians here tonight, people that know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so if it's to be, it's up to me. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pray. I'm going to have to pray. We're going to have to believe God. Oftentimes we're waiting for God to do something. God's waiting on us to do something. He's waiting on us to pray, use His name, and reach out, and so on and so forth. And so you have authority. It's been delegated to you. God gives you authority, especially as you're born again. You've got new authority now. God gave the earth to man in the beginning. He messed it up, and that's why it's in such a mess now. Adam sinned. Sin came into the world, and death by sin. And so now we've got a bunch of lost people in the world, and we've got a doomed world. What's the answer? Well, God came again through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Hallelujah. Entered as a man, but a perfect man, God-man. He was all God. He was all man. You do the math. It doesn't figure out, but this doesn't make sense in the natural anyway. If you can explain to me on a piece of paper how the blood washes our sins away, fine, go right ahead. I don't think you can calculate that. You just have to take God's word on that.
Right.
It does. It washes our sins away. So He came and He restored righteousness through all those that accept Him as Lord and Savior. The problem with mankind is not what we've done, but who we are. It's a problem. It's a matter of nature. It's a matter of birth.
Yes.
We're all born through Adam, so we're all born in sin. And in Adam all die. The only answer to that dilemma is to be born again. To get out of that nature. Can a leper change his spots? Can you become another person overnight? Well, you can't enter the second time in your mother's womb, as Nicodemus said. But you can be born again from heaven. And except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's what Jesus said, John 3rd chapter. The kingdom of God, he says in John. And so we've been born again to a whole new kingdom. And Jesus, incidentally, is the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. He's not the King of slaves. He's the King of Kings.
Yes.
He's not the Lord of servants. He's the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
And so God wants to extend His kingdom through us.
Yes.
That's why He told us to go out. Told us to preach the gospel. Told us to lay hands on the sick.
That's right.
Amen. You say, well, aren't we servants of God? Well, yes, metaphorically, I understand that. In a picture, we are. But we're more than just servants. He's made us kings and priests unto our God. We're not God, not going to be. That's not what we're saying. Our authority is just delegated, but it has been given to us, and it's high time we begin to use it.
That's right.
Amen. Think about a teacher in a class. A teacher in a class has authority, delegated from the principal, delegated from the school board, you know, or the superintendent, then school board, and ultimately the state of Texas. But the state of Texas and the school board and the principal doesn't keep a control in the classroom. The teacher keeps control in the classroom because that authority has been delegated down to that teacher. Amen? So just to get it down there where we live or where the rubber meets the road, we're talking about your classroom. We're talking about your backyard. I don't have authority over you. You don't have authority over me, but I've got authority over me.
Amen.
And you got authority over you. Amen? In Jesus' name. And your household and your world and what comes knocking on your door and what the devil would like to throw in your path and make you swallow, make you take. You don't have to take it. You can submit to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. James 4:7 tells us that. And that's a matter of authority. That's because we've been given this awesome authority. But with authority comes responsibility. With every right comes a responsibility. And so we have this authority, but we are responsible to do something about it. See, the world doesn't see any power in the church. That's the sad part about it. In many cases, a lot of churches are powerless. I'm not here against churches. I'm for churches. I'm pro-church. Thank God for people to get together that name the name of Jesus. And we are for them. We don't think we're the only ones that are ever going to heaven. We don't think we're it and nobody else is it. I think we do have it, but I think there's others that have it too. And the ones that don't have it are probably looking for it. Some of them had it and lost it, and they're trying to find it, but thank God we still have it. Okay, you got it? Okay. But the world doesn't see power in the church. They come in the church, there's no power in the church, you know. It's just a social club. People get together and meet and shake hands and look at each other and see how they're dressed and walk back out, and aren't they nice people? And they don't live any different when they leave here, and they don't have any more different, they don't have any miracles, really. Nothing really spectacular happens in their lives. You don't hear a lot of testimonies. It should not be that way. Church ought to be a place where you get your marching orders. You know, it ought to be a place where you get stirred up. Praise God. Where you find out what you can do, and then you go out and do it when you leave here.
Yes.
Amen. And the people should see it. They should see miracles, signs, wonders, change lives. Hallelujah. Testimonies. Well, that comes by exercising authority. That makes sense. Someone's going to have to do it. Someone's going to have to take control. If we do nothing, nothing gets done. And if we keep doing the same things, the way we've always done it, we're always going to get the same thing.
That's right.
Does that make sense? If we always do it the same way, we're always going to get the same thing. So somewhere down the line, we've got to change something. We've got to do something differently. And you and I have been put in charge of our household. We're often waiting for others to take charge, but no, we've got to take charge. Mm-hmm. I think of Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, it says, the commandment is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off that you should send someone over the sea to go get it. Neither is it over the mountain that you send someone over the mountain to go get it for you. But what saith it? The word is nigh you in your heart and in your mouth that you may do it. That you may do it.
Yeah.
We're waiting on everybody else. God's waiting on us.
That's right.
And Paul picks up on that in Romans 10, chapter 8, verse. It says, the word of faith is nigh thee. Well, he backs up and he says, who shall ascend up into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from beneath. What saith it? The word is nigh thee in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Yes.
See, he's saying you do something with it. I've given you that authority. Now you need to take it and you need to do something with it. Exercise it.
That's good.
How many times did Jesus say, you know, do you believe I'm able to do this? What is it that you want me to do for you? According to your faith, so be it unto you. Thy faith hath made thee whole.
Yeah.
Individual cases where he laid that responsibility upon us. So stir yourself. Shake yourself. You say, well, I never heard anything like this. Well, thank God you came to church now. Matthew 28. Let's talk about authority here. Notice what Jesus, this is new covenant, new deal, new agreement, as it were. We're under a brand new contract now. It's been going on for 2,000 years. We're under the new deal. It happened when Jesus rose from the dead. He started a whole new covenant, a whole new contract, a whole new agreement. And you want to know the truth? He started a whole new race of men and women, Christians. Never had been. And now that for 2,000 years there's been Christians, born-again believers. Wow. And he went up into heaven and he sent the Holy Ghost down here. Wow, born-again, spirit-filled believers. I mean, this is awesome stuff. And it says here, Jesus speaking, Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, I'm reading out of New King James. King James says power, all power. That is the Greek word exousia or exousia, depending on what Greek school you've been studying under. But it means authority. All authority. See, power and authority are two different things. Power is ability. Authority is the right. Okay?
Yeah.
If I can explain it this way, if I were going to downtown Dallas and build a skyscraper, build a building in downtown Dallas, I would have to first, of course, I'd have to have a crew to be able to do that. Amen? Probably some equipment. Hello? I'd have to have the ability. I'd have to have men. I'd have to have crews. I'd have to have bulldozers. I'd have to do, you know, all these things I need to prepare the ground. That's the ability, but still, I don't have the authority yet. I still have to get a permit to be able to do that.
Right.
Yeah. And if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Even in Willis Point, you've got to have a permit to build a building. And so, you know, you might have the money to build a building. You might have the crews and everybody all lined out, but you don't have the authority because you haven't been authorized to do it.
Yeah. That's right.
So there is a difference between power and authority. And that's why said that, because most modern translations do say authority. King James there just says power. But actually, that is power. Ability is another Greek word. Actually, most of the time when you see the word power, ability, it's the Greek word dunamis. We get the word dynamite from that. That is ability. That's having the crew. That's having the equipment. That's having the training. That's the ability. But what Jesus is saying here, he says, all authority is given to me. I think it's interesting because sometimes you can have, you can even in the natural, you can have the authority and you yourself personally, you do not have to have the ability, the authority that you have or that you're using will back you up like a policeman with a badge. He doesn't have the ability to stop traffic, but he has the authority to stop traffic. Hello. And so when he holds up the badge or puts up the sign or whatever, everybody stops. Now, they don't have to. They could run him over. But see, the authority that he's representing will show up if that happens. And you will feel the ability that's behind the authority. And they'll pull all the stops out and they'll hunt you down and get you. So you respect the authority. Well, praise God, you don't have to suffer the ability, you know, in that sense. But it's not a matter of that person or that policeman being necessarily able. He's authorized to do that. I think sometimes we question our ability in many cases, and we don't understand. We're authorized to do this. Yes. Now, I believe the Holy Ghost is the ability. Two things, actually, the Word and the Holy Ghost, I believe, are both the ability, the power, the dunamis. Because if you go through the Scripture, you'll find over and over the Word is called the power of God, and the Holy Ghost is called the power of God. So the Holy Ghost and the Word together really are they're the power. You need the Holy Ghost and you need the Word. You need both those, or you really don't have a lot of power. Here you are authorized, and every Christian is authorized, incidentally. Every Christian has the authority, but not many of them out there are using it, generally because they don't know the Word, don't have the Holy Ghost, or don't know anything about the Holy Ghost. And so, as a result, you don't see a lot of things happening. And yet, potentially, they're there. They have that ability or the authority, but they just don't know anything about the ability. That's another story altogether. Now I've got you totally confused. Let's go back to authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? He's got all authority. He has the rights, the authority. He's got the permits in all of heaven and all of earth. Wow. That's amazing. And then he says, 19th verse, go ye therefore. Well, that's kind of funny. I mean, he's saying, I got all authority, you go. Well, wouldn't you think he'd go? He's got all the authority. Why didn't he go? Well, what he's doing, he's authorizing us. If the one with the authority tells you to go, then all of a sudden now you're authorized. Isn't that the case?
That's right.
I mean, it's like I were to hire someone and they would begin to operate in the name of the company, as it were, you know, and I'd authorize them as an employee. Well, we're employees of Jesus and company.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
I hope you filled out a form and hired on.
Yeah.
All you got to do is get saved, accept Jesus, and you become part of Jesus and company. But and along with that comes authority. But also there's a job. There's a job comes with that.
Yes.
There's something that he wants you to do. You know, and then he lines that out in the Scripture. But he doesn't send you out there without the authority to do it. That's what's good. See, he gives us this authority. All authority in heaven and earth is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. We can have a camp meeting right here and just take this apart. Whatever the disciples were told to do, they were told to go tell others to do. So whatever a lot of people will say, well, you know, they did those things in the Bible, and those were Bible days. You know, there really wasn't a day of miracles. There's just a God of miracles, and he never changes. He's the Lord God. He changes not. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, forever. And if you were to go with that logic and say, well, okay, the disciples, they're the only ones who could do that. Only the 12 apostles could do that. Well, actually 11, because Judas hanged himself. And you could say, well, maybe Matthias, because he took Judas's place in Acts 1. But then you'd have a problem because Paul comes along and he's not one of the 12. And he didn't take Judas's place because they already picked somebody to take Judas's place in Acts 1. Matthias. So now you got 13 of them doing it. And you got another problem because in Luke 10, Jesus sent 70 people out doing the same thing. Literally healing the sick, what it says. Healing the sick, raising the dead, and so on and so forth. So if you go down that road and you say it's just those disciples that did that, well, the problem with that is that whatever Jesus told them to do, 20th verse, he told them to teach others to observe all things I've commanded you. So if he told them to go lay hands on the sick, he must have told them to go tell others to lay hands on the sick. Isn't that right? Whatever he told them, they were supposed to tell everybody else. And you know what? We're supposed to tell everybody else too. And that thing just gets passed down. Now, how is that possible? How in the world can we do that? I mean, we're not Jesus. We can't do what Jesus did, can we? Well, yeah, he's authorized us, just like he authorized the disciples. He authorized the church. And it's a matter of authority. It's not a matter of your ability. It's not a matter of your goodness or my goodness or, you know, we often get hung up on that. You know, something comes up and we can't handle it and we just think we're not worthy. But if you're born again, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been authorized to take care of that situation, to pray, and Jesus will back you up.
Amen.
Flip out that badge and show the devil who you are. You know, FBI, Special Agent Michael Williams. Well, in this case, you know, it'd be born again believer. Authorized with the name of Jesus to pray right now and run you out of my life.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about running each other out. We're talking about issues that come up in your life, things that if someone opens up and wants you to pray for them, they've opened the door. You can pray for the sick and they shall recover, is what the Bible says. Now, it's not you doing it per se. Oh, it's you going through the motions. You're authorized by him. It's his power that backs it up, though, that makes it happen. So it says, all authority. Who would doubt that Jesus has all authority? Well, how can anybody doubt that? I'm talking about Christians, believers, people that believe the Bible. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. That's conferred authority. He has conferred upon us authority. In legal terms, you would just call that a power of attorney when someone authorizes you. On a real simple level, if you hired onto a job, you know that on that job you're authorized to do a certain job, a certain part of that job. To give you an example, I worked in a wholesale produce company for 3 years. I did wholesale produce in Dallas. I worked for a place called Trinity Produce. And they were a large produce company. They had several trucks that delivered to several businesses all around the Dallas area. And they brought in shipments of fruits and vegetables from all over the United States, even from Canada. We'd get BC apples and we'd get things from Mexico. And we'd ship in also avocados and stuff from Chile and different places and bananas from all over. But I would buy and sell. I would sit at a desk and I have a phone and I would call up people and I would order things and I never paid for them. I'd order boxcar, train car loads of Idaho potatoes. I have a clue how much they cost. I mean, I could tell you per bag, you know, because I was doing it at the time, you know, what they cost. But they'd bring they had a spur, you know, or a railroad spur where they'd bring it right up to where we were. Downtown Dallas, there's a railroad spur there where they bring train cars in, and we'd unload them. Well, I wouldn't unload them, but our men would unload them. I'd just buy them, and they'd unload them. Hello. But they never once took any money out of my bank account. They never once had me write a check. Never once did I have to take any money out of my pocket because I was operating in the name of Trinity Produce. I was authorized to do that. Just 18-wheeler loads of lettuce. Load after load from California, oranges, you know, from Florida. And I mean, we just bring from all over the country, just trucks coming in every day, all week long, just truck loads of stuff. And give me a truckload of that. Make it two. Hello. I was authorized because I was a part of that company. And they never once looked at my P&L or profit and loss statement, looked at my bank statement, looked at my checking account. Hello. Because I wasn't paying for it. Now, why is it when we pray that we want to go check out our bank account? The devil, if we're going to do that, we're never going to win. We're doing what we're doing under the authority that God has given us. We're praying in the authority that God has given us as Christians, as believers. That authority is wrapped up in Jesus' name. Ooh, hallelujah. So he says, all authority is given to me, go ye therefore. And then, of course, Mark 16, we get a little more detail. Now, I know this is, you know, the name of Jesus and authority 101 for a lot of us, but I think we need to go over and over it. Amen? How many times do you not feel worthy when you pray for someone? I think your worst day is when you feel like you're big enough to make it happen all by yourself. Of course, you're not worthy in the natural. I'm worthy in the spirit. In the natural, I don't mount up. I'm just like anybody else in the natural. Are you kidding? I'm no different than anybody else. But see, I'm born again. I'm a believer in Jesus. I have authority now. I have the name of Jesus, and I have been commissioned to go out and do this thing. It says here in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, the good news to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. That's us. Isn't that right? If we believe in Jesus, then we're saved. If we believe and we're saved, then this is who he's talking to. He's not talking to the disciples. He is saying to the disciples that this will happen to those that they preach to. Because he says them. Y'all see that? And in essence, and I've used this example many times, Tommy, you're the disciples. Jesus is getting ready to leave. He is telling them in Mark's account, here's what I want you to do. You go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs will follow them that believe. He's not saying these signs will follow you, Peter, James, John. That was evident. They knew that. He's saying these signs will follow them that believe what Peter, James, and John were preaching. Now, do you believe what Peter, James, and John preached? Well, a couple of you do. Okay. Are you a believer in the gospel? Well, these signs shall follow you that believe. So this definitely wasn't concerning the apostles, other than they were to preach this, and those who believe what they preach would do this. Apostles already had their commission. They already knew what they're supposed to do. Now, they're supposed to go teach others to do everything he commanded them to do, Matthew 28. And then Mark 16, he just pins it, these signs will follow them that believe. Now, why would he say them that believe when he's looking at, I mean, who talks in third person talking to somebody? He's talking about somebody else, obviously. He would say you, he wouldn't say them that believe. Okay, so here we are, we're believers. I know this is rather redundant, but this is how we will learn things, amen, over and over. In my name, wait a minute, now we've got some insight. In my name. Now he said over Matthew 28, all power in heaven and earth is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. But now we get some insight. He says in my name. So we're going in his name. That in legal terms is called a power of attorney. That's exactly what that is. That's when someone writes, signs over his name to you, and you can begin to operate in their name. People, many times, that are not mentally capable as they get older in life, sometimes sign over their rights to their finances and so on to one of their children because they're not able to handle the finances, and that's a power of attorney. Hello. And so that son or that daughter or that child can operate at that bank account and all those accounts and everything that's in the name of their mother or father, whatever the case may be. They have the power of attorney to write everything and write their name. Does that make sense?
Yep.
They have access to all they have, all the resources. So to sign over everything that you have to me is to legally to give me a power of attorney. Jesus did that. He signed over everything he had to us. Isn't that right? I mean, that's what he did because he told us to go in his name. I authorize you to use my name, and whatever's in my bank account, you got it. And here's some of the things he said we do. He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. You don't have to worry about being bigger than a devil, meaner than a devil, smarter than a devil. You're probably not as smart as the devil. You don't have to be. Hello. You're authorized. Just because, anybody work on a job? Anybody ever worked on a job? The boss that's over you is not necessarily smarter than you are. I've worked for a lot of people that weren't smarter than I am. But they were the boss. And you've been over people that were smarter than you. But if you're the boss, you're the boss. Authority doesn't have anything to do with smarts. It has to do with whoever authorized them. In other words, God chooses anybody he wants to. If he authorizes them, then he's the one that chose. He's the one that authorized, and that's God's business, not yours, not mine. If God told me to do it, I can do it because he told me to do it. I've been authorized. Amen. Woo, hallelujah.
Good.
Praise God. So it says they'll cast out demons, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Now, you know, I've explained this many times. The transition in speaking is very plain here. They shall. And, of course, take up serpents we know is the power of the enemy. The serpent is metaphorical or a simile for the devil all through the Scripture. That old serpent, the devil, Revelation 12 says that. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So he's not saying take up snakes like they do in the hills of Kentucky somewhere. You know, we don't do that around here. Don't bring a snake in here. Unless it's your husband, you want him saved. But I mean, don't, you know, we're not taking up, we scripturally speaking, that is not taking up a serpent, literally, that is taking up the power of the devil. That's what he's talking about. Scripturally, because I know the other scriptures, what they say. They all say that. Are you with me? If you think about Paul in the Isle of Malta that picked up a snake, he didn't pick it up and show everybody. He put his hand in some sticks or a fire, and a snake bit him, and he shook it off. He didn't hold it up and say, "I'm fulfilling Mark, the 16th chapter." He did what anybody with half a brain would do. He shook the thing off. And the miracle was that he was healed because he should have died from the poison, and he got healed. Hallelujah. So this is not an admonition to go take up literally snakes, but take up the power of the devil. And where it says, if they drink any deadly thing, it didn't say they shall, they shall, they shall. The language is different. Transition. They shall, they shall. Now, if this is a good promise for poisoning, it's a good promise because people were poisoning people back then. It was a very common practice. You could believe God to be healed, a miracle. Praise God. In fact, it's a good scripture to stand on if your kids get in the cabinet. Get a hold of something. Hello. If they drink you deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Then it goes back to shall or they will. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will. Everybody say, they is us.
They is us.
Okay. They is us or they is we. Or we is they. Or we are them. We found out who them are. And them are us. I always wonder who they are. You know, you know what they say. You know, you always hear, who are they? Well, we are they. They who believe in Jesus have authority. Everybody say, I have authority.
I have authority.
Now, in this case, you can't talk about authority as a believer in Jesus without talking about the name of Jesus. Amen? Because our authority is wrapped up in the name, just like we work for a company, and our authority is wrapped up in whatever that company represents. You know, back to that example I used of that produce company, I couldn't order anything in that produce company. I couldn't order a fleet of cars. They didn't have money for that, and they weren't in that business. I only could order, really, what they were in the business of ordering and what they had, their credit line and what they were approved at. Hello. That's why I can't, in Jesus' name, burn your house down. God's not in that business. It's not what he does. Jesus just make them miserable, make them sick. I'm sorry, Jesus doesn't do that. Hello. So I can say that, but there's no authority. I have no authority to do that. I don't have authority to tear down or destroy people's lives. I haven't been given that kind of authority. I can do it, but it won't be from heaven. I can even get anointed to hurt people, but it won't be the anointing of God. Hello. So I have authority in Jesus' name to do whatever Jesus does. And so he laid out for us some of the things he did. And we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to watch him to see what he does as he walks the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum, raising dead, casting out devils, forgiving people, loving people, healing the sick, and so on and so forth. That's the kind of authority I have in his name. That's the only thing that's in that account. I can't write a check for anything beyond that because that's all he does. So I don't have authority to hate. I can't hate in Jesus' name. I can do it, but I can't do it in Jesus' name. Make sense? Okay. So he says, very plainly here that it was the name that gave them the authority to do this. Turn over to Luke 10. I quoted that, but let's look at Luke 10. Look at Luke. Luke 10. Authority in the name. Hallelujah. Man, that frees me. I mean, that just frees me up when I see it from that perspective. It's not, I can never be good enough to accomplish a miracle, never good enough to lay claim, you know, to any healing that takes place, whatever. I'm just authorized by God to lay hands on the sick, and so are you. And when they get healed, it's not you, it's the company that did it.
Yeah.
I mean, when the Idaho potatoes show up, it wasn't me that bought them, it was the company that bought them. It was me, the agent, that exercised the authority, but Trinity Produce gets all the glory.
Yeah.
Amen? And so, you know, when we pray for a miracle and something happens, we don't pat ourselves on the back. We give God the glory. We did what we were authorized to do. As an agent of Jesus and company, we flipped out our badge, amen, and took authority. That's what prayer is all about. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. That's why I always get upset in movies when they pray and they just say amen. They never say in Jesus' name. You ever notice that? Amen. They just amen. They don't say Jesus. Well, our authorization is in Jesus' name. That's where it is. And it's not in Christ's name. Christ is a position. Christ means the anointed one. Christ means the Messiah. Jesus is his name. Jesus Christ. Jesus the Messiah. Now, I understand, I'm not attacking people that do that. Don't you go out and blast anybody that does that. I hear a lot of people, good people, love God. They're Christians, born again. They'll say in Christ's name. I just make it a habit to say in Jesus' name. Because Jesus is his name. Just like Dr. Galloway. Dr. Galloway, if I just said doctor, you wouldn't know. I could be talking about Dr. Burr. Could be talking about Dr. Galloway or another doctor. But when I say Dr. Galloway, I put a name to the office. You wouldn't go to Dr. Galloway to get a massage or your back cracked. And you sure wouldn't go to Dr. Burr to get your teeth pulled. See, when you say Jesus, you know he does certain things. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. All right. What did I tell you, Turtle? Luke 10? This is the account where he sent the 70 out, and I mentioned that in passing. And, of course, I even quoted the 19th verse. But it's interesting that the 70, once he sent them out, incidentally, to look at the 9th verse, heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come upon you. I mean, he's told them to do several things. Healing was something they did. This was not the 12. It's not the 12 apostles. This was 70 others also. So if you just count it up, you got 12, you got 70, that's 82, and you got Jesus, that's 83. Then you get in the book of Acts, man, I mean, you just multiply that out. I mean, all the different people that were used like this. And then the church as a whole, we all are supposed to really do this. Okay. Y'all can read, right? Okay. So it says here that they went out and they did those things, 17th verse. Then the 70 returned with joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Wow. You know, I mean, I'm from Center, Texas, and I can figure this one out. God bless Center, Texas. The demons were subject through the name. But now they were subject to them through the name. So they had authority over the devils through the name of Jesus. So contrary to all these horror shows, you know, where the priest always gets thrown out the window and beat up and killed by the devil, if you, as a Christian, use Jesus' name, the devil has to bow. You're dealing with nightmares or you're dealing with fear or whatever the case may be. Don't you bow. You make them subject themselves to the name of Jesus. Woo! You're spiritually oppressed. You feel a spiritual opposition, whatever the case may be. Don't you give in. Don't you back up. See, you've been authorized, and in Jesus' name, you can subject them to that name. They're subject to you through that name. They understood very well where the authority came from. They were filled with joy and came back and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Wow. How much more now us who are born again? This is before Jesus rose from the dead. He hadn't even died yet and rose again yet. This is still before he gave his life and rose again and started the new covenant. How much more now with the new covenant, which we just read over there in Matthew 28, Mark 16, how much more now do we have authority? Now, I didn't say authority over each other. It's not what we're talking about. And our authority is limited to the function of the company. In other words, whatever it is that Jesus does. And we don't have authority to go out and wipe people out and, you know, do all those kinds of things that you would love to do sometimes. But he didn't authorize you to do that. In fact, he even goes on and to keep your heart right and keep it straight. He said unto them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. 19th verse, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. So that keeps us in the perspective right. The greatest thing is that we're born again. Authority is not the greatest thing. The greatest thing, I'm saved and going to heaven. Authority comes because of that. And nothing will replace my born-again experience, my eternal life, you know, going to heaven, living forever, that Jesus paid the price for. Nothing replaces that. But as a benefit or a byproduct of that, authority came with that. And along with authority comes responsibility. Do something about it. We have a responsibility. Is any sick among you? Is what the Bible says. James 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer, the name of the Lord. Everybody say the name of the Lord. Pray over him, and then what's the name of the Lord? Jesus, Jesus' name. Pray over him in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we have a responsibility to use the authority. It's not just something to wear as an honor, a badge, put on a plaque. It's something we're supposed to be using. Does that make sense? So when we see something out of place or out of control, when the kids are screaming in the classroom, if you're the teacher, take control. When sickness begins to come up, begin to pray. That's why we pray in church for people that are sick. That's why we're against sickness. Everybody knows sickness is bad. That's why we have so many hospitals and doctors and medicine, so on and so forth. We ought to be doing everything we can to get rid of it. And by all means, if you go to the doctor, pray over that doctor. Pray over that medicine. Pray over that surgery. Use the name. Amen? You've been authorized. And don't feel like you're not able to or don't have, you're not worthy, because that has nothing to do with it. You've been made worthy by the blood. Sure, you see your weaknesses and you see the areas you need to grow in, but you're never going to get perfect enough to where you can finally get a prayer answered. Hallelujah. Finally got there. Now I can believe God. Y'all catching this?
Yes.
I'm not saying sin and keep praying. No, you repent if you're sinning. But you're not this pillar of super sainthood has attained this ability now to have your prayers answered. You got that ability and that authority when you got saved. Turn over to Acts 3. Acts 3rd chapter, just to reinforce that point. Hallelujah. Acts 3. Remember when the lame man was healed? The gate beautiful. Peter and John went by the gate beautiful in the hour of prayer to pray. And there's a lame man there, and he asked for alms, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Notice how he said this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. How did he do that? In the name of Jesus Christ. Okay. Then they all came together in Solomon's porch, the Bible says, greatly wondering at this thing that had taken place. And it says here in the... let's back up to 12th verse. Yeah, to Genesis. Yeah, that's what I want to do. 12th verse. So when Peter saw it, what he saw was all these people coming together, and obviously just hero worship was going on here. We had found the next American Idol. Okay. There he was, Peter. Simon said, go for it, you know, and whoever else is on the board there. I'm going to mess up because I don't ever watch. But anyway, there he was. The next American Idol. And he says, 12th verse, so when Peter saw it, He responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk?" Celebrity worship. We do that in churches. We do that with evangelists. We do that, goodness, we do that with rock stars. We think people are just some people, they're just not of this world. I remember Michael Jordan used to play. You know, we'd hear headlines, see headlines. He's not one of us. He's from another planet. Because his ability was just so good. You know, he was a basketball player for the Chicago Bulls. I don't know if y'all know what I'm talking about. Anyway, he used to call him Air Jordan because he'd stay in the air so long with that tongue hanging out. That was his trademark. And he'd dunk that basketball. He'd just hang in the air. They call him Air Jordan. You know, he just, oh, wow. And everybody would worship him. But, you know, oh, he's so great. Well, he's just a person like anybody else. Aren't you amazed that you see movie star or TV series star, and then they'll interview them, and you'll realize what knuckleheads they are? And you think, man, that guy's weird. I thought he was such a good actor, and he's weird. That guy is weird. Because they're just people. That's all they are. Everybody, hello. Okay. So here's Peter, and they're thinking, oh, man, Super Saint has arrived. And we've done that with Peter. We've done that with the apostles. We've done that with Paul. We've made them so far beyond us. Oh, my, these guys, we'd never attain what they... Well, they're just people. They were just like you and me, and they did some dumb things too. Some of the greatest heroes of the Bible sinned greatly. David committed adultery and had the woman's husband killed. Inexcusable. Wasn't perfect. Repented, paid the price for that. It's amazing God still used him. Abraham lied about his wife. You start going through all these things, you know. You're never going to be good enough. That's no excuse for your sin. That's no excuse for you not trying. No excuse for you not overcoming. What I want to do is stir you to see that you have been authorized. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you can pray. God will hear you when you pray. He wants you to pray. He's given you this name. Just don't get cocky. Okay? That's kind of what's going on here. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses." Here it is, 16th verse. "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all.
Amen.
Boy, what authority. By what power. How did they do that? Through Jesus' name and through faith in his name.
Yeah.
Not through faith in me. Not through faith in my ability. Through Jesus' name and through faith in his name. When you write that check, spiritually speaking now, stay with me. When you write that check for that healing, you write that check for that answered prayer, whatever prayer that is, in Jesus' name, it's a matter of what's in his account, not a matter of what's in your account. Amen. That's why Jesus said, when you pray in that day, ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now there again, he'll do whatever's in his account. A lot of people ask amiss because what they're asking for is not in the account. Woo, hallelujah. And it all comes down to authority. It's just a matter of authority. It's not a matter of you being a great, great person. Now, obviously, you should get better and better as you serve God, and you should overcome sin as you serve God. But, you know, if you start looking in that mirror every time and just sizing yourself up, there's always going to be somebody better than you. And, hey, there'll always be somebody a little worse than you. But you're going to play those games, you're always going to get in trouble. You're going to be depressed all the time, or you're going to be arrogant.
Yeah.
And both sides of that story is wrong. But this is a matter of who Jesus is. This is a matter of, does he mean what he says? This is a matter of, can he do this? And are you authorized to use his name? I believe he can do it. I believe he is big enough. I believe he is the healer. That's why we say that all the time when we pray for people. Who's the healer? Jesus is the healer. And we say in Jesus' name, because we're authorized to use that name, you're authorized to use that name. And when you pray, quit looking at yourself. And start looking at authority. Who has authority? And I can't make it any plainer than the job situation. If you ever worked on a job, you know you do things or see things done all the time by people who do not have ability, who do not have money, but they are authorized by that company to operate in that company. Well, we are working for Jesus. And this is Jesus and company. This is the kingdom of God. And we pray things happen because we've been authorized to make it happen. And he backs it up. Amen?